In keeping with my commitment to do a mini series on fear, I thought I'd address one of the common shared experiences that I have a unique insight into. And that is the fear of losing someone and the grief and the mourning. Most often, there is a trinity that shows up for fear, like a triad of fear. There are three main things that I've consistently seen that people fear the most. One is the fear of failure, two is the fear of never being loved, and three is the fear of losing a loved one. So in my regular working life, I do provide mediumship readings. And some people are still in mourning. And others have gotten to a place of peace. But every single person misses their loved one still. And I've noticed that there is a difference, not really a difference, there is a uniqueness that I sometimes catch in someone's voice when is the pain of a parent losing a child, when is the pain of someone losing their spouse, when it is the pain of a child losing a parent, the pain of losing a pet. The pain of murder, the pain of a drug overdose, the pain of suicide, the pain of never getting to say goodbye, the pain of watching your loved one deteriorate before they die, the pain of an unexpected passing. It's a symphony of pain that I experience when interacting with these people. And I do intend to honor their pain by validating it, showcasing it, and trying to help people to understand and heal. In Gigi Family, one of my stories or one of my themes for one of the episodes is revenge. And this comes from a lot of people who have been molested, raped, or their loved one has been murdered. This need for not just justice and vengeance, but to inflict pain on another for causing pain. And I wanted to show how it's all-consuming and how it just creates more trauma and drama. The cycle remains unbroken because then you're hurting somebody else, and then that person wants to get revenge on you. And then revenge, revenge, revenge. It never equals or balances the scale. Forgiveness can. And so that's what that episode is about, how revenge turns into forgiveness and acceptance. And once healed, how someone can move on to still live a beautiful life and co-create joy with others. In the first season, first couple of episodes of Gigi Family, the pain of parents losing their children is prominent because it's talking about how First Nations people had their children stolen away from them and put in a residential school, and many of them died. and just how that pain makes a whole community go mad from grief. And it was something that I never really heard talked about. A lot of the conversations, as they should be, were around the children and their suffering, but not about the madness that ensued from the mother who had their babe ripped from her arms, from the father who tried to fight to keep the only ones that ever truly mattered and loved him. It's awful. And I put in the story how some people say, oh, my little baby, I hope you never grow up. And then this feeling of the trauma for some parents of never getting to see their child actually grow up. And like how that saying can be triggering. And then I do the same thing in the following episodes when I talk about mixed race children in Ireland and how the mothers were forced to give up the child and sometimes the fathers never even knew. It's a different pain. And I feel like all pain really needs to be addressed. All fears. I went to church this recent Sunday and the minister was talking about, and this is a UU church, a Universal Unitarian Church. I like to pop into different churches. So in this sermon, she was talking about how you've probably never been in a place where all of your pain was welcome. That was the intention of her sermon, to welcome in all of the injustices, all of the pain, all of the suffering, and to acknowledge it and be in a safe space where it can be witnessed by others, expressed and healed. And I thought about how there really aren't that many sacred sadness spaces. And so my hope is that I can do that with some of my storytelling. Create a sacred space for all of someone's sadness. Because when we don't truly honor all of it and sometimes empathize with the ones that have suffered, sometimes it just festers. And I guess my fear is that society will continue to fester and never heal. And so I guess that fear is one of the motivations for why I do what I do. I was thinking about how the loss of a loved one can completely shift how someone lives their life. There's a lot of blame that happens when someone passes away beyond the time we think is, basically they pass when we think they're too young, okay? And so there's this feeling of, I didn't get as much time as I deserved, or like I was robbed. But even still, sometimes someone can pass in their hundreds and people will still be sad. You know, grief doesn't have rationale. A loss is a loss is a loss. But I was thinking about how transformative a loss can be, to where we start paying attention to the things that are most important to us. We leave nothing unsaid. We spend more time with the ones that are still here. And this was coming to my mind when I first heard about Trevor Noah's grandmother passing. I was like, oh no. Because I knew he wasn't able to be around her as much as he really wanted to. And I was like, there's going to be a big shift after her passing. And now he's leaving. The Daily Show. Which is not a bad thing. It is transformative. He's shifting his life so that he can make time for what's most important, which, in his words, are the people that matter to him, making people laugh. And it's strange how there's a duality. Like, he's about bringing in joy and laughter, which I do as well, but I am a lot about addressing pain and grief and mourning and sadness in my regular day-to-day life. And that duality, or rather those two aspects of living, I think, are what gives life meaning. If there was no sadness, would the joy be as deep? If there was no laughter, would crying be as loud? I believe that they would still exist, but would the depths of them exist without each other? And I don't think they would. When people lose a loved one and they reflect upon their life and they make changes, a lot of the time they contact me for validation that it's still the right choice. It's interesting how we all revert back to that little one-year-old who looks up to those around them and says, "Am I okay? Am I doing enough? Am I right? Do you care enough to tell me?" And it's such a beautiful, it's such a beautifully vulnerable place. And some days I've been so annoyed with my own life that I haven't been able to truly meet someone at that innocence. And my job is to not beat myself up about that. But I also like to highlight how the desire to make up for our shortcomings. I didn't say that exactly the way I wanted to. Basically, in Ghostly Ghoul Family, I wanted to not make the characters perfect. I wanted them to be flawed, but not just flawed for like entertainment and drama, but flawed with the dedication to do better. So I show a lot of characters that have messed up and then what they do to make amends. And I've noticed within mediumship, people will carry these burdens of what they didn't do for the deceased. And then they're constantly trying to make up for it for the rest of their lives sometimes. And they come to me for the validation that their loved one knows, that their loved one forgives them, or whatever it is. Most often it's that they forgive and that they know what they did in their honor. And in my experience, the loved one always knows. And they always are proud of all the loving and positive intentions that the living still do in memory of them. But it's just interesting how that pushes, that motivates people to do more. For me, one of the people I taught and mentored passed from a drug overdose. And the day before she died, she had posted. And there was weird, it felt so weird when she posted. And I thought I should comment. And then I was like, no, I should DM her. She didn't say anything specific like a cry for help. It was just like, I did all the dishes and there was a picture. But I just liked the posts and went to bed. And she passed that night. And I was like, if I had just... And this is the self-indulgent thoughts that we have. We think that we could have done something to prevent something else. And it's that maddening emotional loop of I shoulda, I coulda, I wish I woulda. And I had taught people not to do that, but I found myself doing it. But then in meditation, I realized, had I DM'd her and talked to her and she had still passed, which I don't think I could have stopped her passing. If I had done all of that and she still passed, I would have beat myself up even more. Because then I truly would have felt like I wasn't enough. And no one really is enough to completely heal all people of addiction, because it is a insidious disease. But I just noticed how it was making me insane. I was sad every day. I blame myself every day. And I don't really do that unless I feel like someone was my responsibility partly. But eventually I moved into forgiveness. I moved into doing something to honor her. And so I DM people, I call them. If I get that feeling again, I go out of my way to connect. And I wrote into karmic bait addiction. And I gave the character her name, my friend's name. And whenever it's made, I hope to donate some of the proceeds to a charity, a nonprofit that is helping. Because she was a part of different organizations that were helping. She was able to get housing, she was able to get a job, and I will donate in her memory. Had I never known her, had she never passed, I wouldn't have wrote anything about addiction in that story. So, death can be inspirational. It can be motivational. And it can rip a hole in your heart that you never recover from. It can be transformative. It can be anything and everything a person needs, and anything and everything that can derail them. We are not the only species that suffers when we lose a loved one. It's been said that horses, pigs, dogs, cats, monkeys, gorillas, that they all grieve, and they do. But I think humanity is the only one that really shifts that sadness into purpose, shifts it into honor, shifts it into transformation. But we do share with the animal kingdom dying from a broken heart. I've seen so many amazing fathers who are just stricken with grief because they did everything they were supposed to, and then a freak accident took their child, and they blame themselves. And I see them carrying around that weight, that pain, that fear that it'll happen again. The complexities of humanity are really what we're peddling when we do storytelling. And I just felt the need to talk about grief and how mediumship has given a very deep insight into the experience. Many people feel better after a reading, or they have validation, they have a better idea of what happened, because sometimes people just need to know why someone took their life, why someone killed somebody, in order to let go. Someone needs to tell them, do not go after the murderer, in order for them to not destroy their life and go to jail. It's just a very extraordinary experience that I've had being a medium for about 14 years now. And I just hope that I'm able to remember it and craft it enough into storytelling via my scripts so that they touch people. It's so important for people to see themselves on the screen, because then they feel that they're not alone, they don't feel like they're wrong. It also can help you understand other people so that you can better empathize and connect with them, so on and so forth. I haven't lost anybody in a while, other than my mentor, but it wasn't a death, it was the eroding of our relationship because of dementia. But I often do think about who I'm going to lose next. It's an underlying anxiety. And it does make me do more. So it has its purpose. And I would just encourage everyone else to let that fear or that grief propel you to do and be better. Sometimes all you have to do is think about your grandmother or great-grandmother. For me, it's my great-grandmother, smiling and looking at you with love. Sometimes that's all you need to envision, to empower you to live your best life, so that they're proud. And I promise you, they always are.